Welcome to Changemaker with founder of Gypsy Tea and social entrepreneur Zina Muzika.
This new podcast is to help you embrace change and experience amazing people and entrepreneurs. We're going to be sharing secrets, habits, and change-making abilities with you so that you can apply them to your life and make a life of your dreams.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzika.
Hey, Changemakers. Welcome to another exciting episode. I'm with Adrienne Ashley, and she is the executive producer of a new show I'm hosting on TV. I'm one of four hosts. It's like The View for Consciousness, and it's called Wake Up, and it's airing on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on Pop TV. Is it Pop TV, Adrienne?
It is poptv.com. It's just called Pop.
Pop. Oh, yeah, Pop. And this is a CBS radio podcast, and it's a CBS station or project, and it's very exciting. So, Adrienne, welcome to Changemaker.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And this project has been absolutely amazing, and it has been 1,000 miles per hour. And I think we've created a kick-ass TV show faster than anybody else on the planet.
Okay, that's actually, that's what I want to talk to you about. So I have been approached, a few times to host TV. I always kind of put it out there that I would love to do that just because I love interviewing people. But you guys approached us in December, and then in March we were shooting, and with like a crew of like 70 people. Like I could not believe. And Adrienne, tell me, you're a single mom, right?
Yes, I am a single mom, and I live in Reno. I'm not even in the geographic neighborhood where I should be able to do something like that.
I know.
Although I'm from the Bay Area, so I mean, I know people.
Yeah, but it's crazy. So you had this idea. Tell me how the idea came and what you did next, because I know so many women out in the world who want to do something impactful and meaningful in their lives. And, you know, a lot of my husband doesn't support me, or I live too far. Oh, I don't have enough time or money. You just kind of like burst through all that and called bullshit and just got it done. So just tell me a little bit about the inception and what the process was like to get it to market.
Well, what happened was, I had been working all of last year on a show called The Real Deal, and it's a kick-ass reality TV show. Can I say that?
Yeah, this is a podcast.
I'm like, it's a podcast. There we go. Good. Okay. I always worry about those FCC people and making them upset with me. So it's a reality TV show that's about independent filmmaking, and I'm an award-winning independent filmmaker. I've been around the world a couple of times with independent films and won awards everywhere, and so I was very familiar with that type of reality show. I had it all mapped out. It was very social. We'd shoot the whole thing in a week. It was so complicated, though, to TV people that they just didn't get it. And my forehead got very bloody, banging my head against the door. And so in December, my business partner, Lisa Marie, I can't remember what she said, but I wish I had it. I wish I could remember, because it was so pivotal, where I literally just shifted my entire being and looked in a different direction, and there was the answer. So we, instead of trying to go the normal route through the studio system, we created a platform called Crowded Reality. We installed WordPress on December 6th, launched it on December 16th with the All I Want for Christmas is My Own TV show. We started talking to you guys about the talk show, and we funded our first pilot, which was not us. It was Kung Fu Redemption, on December 24th, and then we launched Wake Up in January. And that campaign. So we launched and we did crowdfunding, sponsors, raised over $100,000, which, you know, we're independent filmmakers, so we know how to make genius with nothing, which is, I think, the other piece that was really required for this. We move quickly and we know how to make a dollar stretch. And everybody who's on this team, I hired a film team to shoot this, not a TV team, a film team. I find that I hired a TV team before for another show that I was doing, and it crashed and burned because I just don't understand how they think. Like, they have all the time in the world and all the money in the world. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We have to get this to market right.
Interesting.
Now.
Interesting. So, well, and you really did with Jen Page and Jenna Edwards and the whole group that you brought in to do the pilot was, you know, they were, it was a little it was a little chaotic in the sense that everybody jumped in and everybody's ideas were heard and the chaos turned into something great. Can you talk a little bit about how to pull together a team of people and get them motivated and actually, you know, on the same page? Because it was quite miraculous. I mean, there was a ton of people. Everybody had a lot of ideas and it worked.
So I had a very strong vision and we just had to be hold true to that vision. And so the number one thing, I have a no assholes policy. That just really makes life easy because it rules out about 95% of the industry right there. So you're only left with 5% of people who you can work with. And then putting together the team of people who really understood the mission of the show. So having a strong foundation of this is what we're creating and why. Having that strong why, people will sign on and they all signed on when we first started and we picked our dates and we locked our dates. We only had $30,000 and that was enough for the insurance, the equipment and the studio and some food to feed everybody. Everything else, every person was deferred and they all said yes. They understood the why and they aligned with us and they were motivated and they came on board passionately because of our why.
Well, and then, why, and tell our listeners the why, because I'm a mission-driven entrepreneur. The tea company was built to end poverty for tea drinkers. I didn't feel that the world needed another tea company unless it was going to do something impactful. So tell us the why of Wake Up, because that is the theme of this show too, is making change is in the why.
So the why is because there, you know, if you watch the movie Super Size Me, it was, and I'm hearing an echo, I think it's Skype.
No, you're fine. You sound fine.
Okay, because I can hear myself talk, which is going to make me sound really funny. So I might talk faster, people. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
Stay ahead of my reverb. So the why of the mission, if you watch the movie Super Size Me and he ate McDonald's for a month and bad things happened to his body, the same thing is happening in the media today, where to get more viewers, everything is more drive-by effect, more honey boo-boo. And I swear I have to send them I'm sorry apology. I use you as an adjective now. But we don't need more honey boo-boo. We need more content that actually creates better lives, and we don't have it. And that's not what the networks are programmed for because they are committed to getting the largest audience possible. I don't want the largest audience. I want the right audience. And as one of the founding members of Friends of Ricky, we all came together with that same mission. We knew exactly what we wanted. It was very much like what we're doing on Wake Up, except her show was run by a network, and they fired the first production team, brought in another one, and the content got lower. And then they fired that production team, brought in another one.
And you're talking about Ricky Lake. You're talking about Ricky Lake. Yeah, it was very sad to see her go.
It was awful because even she didn't renew her contract. That's why the show got canceled. The show didn't get canceled because of ratings. The show got canceled because the host said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Wow.
My contract is over. You didn't do what you promised me you were going to do and let me do the show I wanted to do, so I'm done.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about this for a second because this seems to be a trend in startups as well. When I left the tea company, because my investors and I mean, we just didn't see eye to eye on so many things. And I finally, when I walked away, I was devastated. I cried for like 10 months. I went through all this emotion. But what I started Googling, like support for founders, support for women founders. And what I discovered is through Harvard Business School Journal, there's an actual study in statistics that show that 95% of founders get kicked out of their company within a year of raising professional money.
Exactly.
And the media is the exact same thing is what I'm noticing, is that how many views, how many clicks, how many, shares you get, which is great. You want something to go viral. But a lot of stuff does have a smaller audience that takes time to grow into a big audience. And how we're handling media as well as startups and companies is that we're ridding the heart and soul of it in order to not have any friction so that we can get quick hit. And,
right.
And it's pandemic. And it's why I love the CBS Radio podcast network. Cause you know, we can grow our audience slowly. We can find the right people, you know, they're having patience with it. So tell us about why you chose to fund Wake Up the way you did and how that's going to look for the ongoing of the show.
So it was really important for us to control the entire conversation, every segment, every guest. We're very particular about who goes on the show. And even more than that, we're very particular about who advertises on the show. So everybody goes through this very strict, stringent kind of process to make sure that there's nothing objectionable about them. Like, we really don't want to put things, we don't want fast food, you know. And if you look at the majority of the advertisers, you know, we're hand selecting. Like, I love the Target commercial. I love the Southwest commercial. I love the Spire commercial. We literally are hand picking the Target merchants that we want to advertise, that we use, that we endorse, that we like, because I feel like having that brand thread going through everything, including the commercials, because we're creating a community. It's not just about the broadcast. It's the whole community. And so the show is 1 hour, and we sell advertising time in that, but we sell it in a very different way because we've built a social TV community. So on Sunday, we have a conversation about self-determination and making better choices. It's not about spirituality. Let Oprah handle the Super Soul Sunday. This is about you control your own destiny. You're in charge, and what are you going to do today? Then Monday is about planning your health and your fitness and your food, and you know, what are you going to get at the grocery store? What's your meal plan for the week? Tuesday is book club. Wednesday is a tweet chat with the whole community and showcasing one of our partners. And then Thursday is a celebrity interview. And then Friday is a coaching corner. What do you need next? What's stopping you? What do you need? Who do we need to introduce you to? Who do we need to bring on board? And then ramping up to promote the Saturday show. So every day we touch them. And our advertising is different because it's integrated. And we want not just a 30-second commercial, but we want banner ads and pre-rolls and blog posts, and we really want that deep two-way engagement with those brands.
So it sounds like
selling pattern.
Well, and it's also, yeah, but it's also holistic. I mean, So what I've discovered with the way women run businesses, and I do business coaching for women CEOs, and I'll tell you, the way a woman runs a business is exactly what you're talking about right now. And this is no issue with guys. I love my husband. I love my son. I love men. I think you're great. And at the same time, the way women approach business and the way women approach things is so much more integrated and holistic. Like, what you're talking about is making the advertising, making the show, making the content useful on a daily basis so that we can integrate our lives with this lifestyle that Wake Up is bringing forth. So I love the idea. I mean, I'm obviously in love with it because I'm in it and I'm on it, and I love you guys. But what I've been really impressed with, too, is just the level of support. So I went to an all-women's college where we took a vow to protect other women, and this is how I roll. I do not compete with other women. When another woman wins, I know that it leads me closer to winning. But a lot of women don't understand how to support one another. And I've got a girlfriend who's a real housewife in New Jersey. And, you know, she says the same thing, is that the producers want the women to fight because it brings out this, you know, controversy, this, oh my God, what's she going to do next? What's this? What's that? This sensationalism when it comes to cutting women down, woman to woman. So what we've done with Wake Up is, I feel like all of us hosts, we're here to build each other up. You know, we don't have the drama, especially, you know, you guys are producers and then the director's a woman and the executive producers are women and the hosts are women. And there's a lot of guys on set, but you're all about us supporting one another. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I believe the Dalai Lama when he said that the world will be saved by the Western woman.
I agree.
But I think that I was raised differently than most other women, most mainstream women. My mom was a victim of domestic violence. My dad dropped acid. He beat her. He did all sorts of horrible things. They divorced when I was 3. The social worker had to take me to the child visitation. And at 4, I basically marched into the judge's office and said, you know what? I'm done. And here's why. Boom, 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 boom. I was a little litigator back then. And, you know, I was brokering no argument, period. I was done. And I never had to go back, which was great. But my mother always lived in fear of her boogeyman, of that he would show up or something. She was hiding in her life. She wasn't being as big as she could be, and she recognized that. And so she raised me to never be that. She raised me to not have a glass ceiling. To, you know, anytime I got hurt and I wanted to be wimpy, she's like, mm-mm, none of that. So I, you know, like I'd break something and I'd suck it up. I broke my foot. I literally taped it up. I was the lead dancer in Anything Goes, a tap show, and I danced. I did 4 performances, and then I went to the doctor and got a cast. So, like, that's who I am.
Yeah.
Because I was raised that way by a mom who was like, it ends with me. That's it. And I don't see many women doing that for their daughters. So I never see a glass ceiling. I have never been held down because women are not given the same opportunity. I'm in there smoking cigars with the big boys in Hollywood. And I asked them one time, I'm like, why am I the only woman? They're like, oh, well, you're different. And I mean, a part of me was like, is that why I'm not dating? Nobody will date me?
Well, guys don't, you know, one of the boys. No, no, guys don't like when
different.
Women, yeah, but guys don't like when women hurt each other. You know, it's,
no.
It's part of them are, I understand from what I've seen is part of them are fascinated by women when like, cause guys like my husband will go golfing with his competitors. Like he doesn't have an issue showing up at, you know, an industry event and butting up to, you know, he's working now in a company from one of his former competitors and they're like buddies, like they love each other and they always respected each other when they were competitors. And it's an interesting thing that women, we tend to hold a grudge and we tend to be hurt more easily. But I think that if we were to just be more like resilient with one another, we could really further this conversation of women power, girl power.
It, especially if it wasn't okay. We know that statistically there's only one spot in the top 100 for a woman and the other 99 are men. So if I have that spot, I have to hold on to it. So I can't let anyone else in the spot below me because then they might be vying for my job. That's another thing that, that goes on.
Yeah, it's a scarcity
totally
mindset.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't be scarce. Listen, we could take over the world. And this is the key piece that I think every woman should understand is we really do rule the world.
We just haven't
told most women that. And so the women feel like, because the media portrays us as victims.
Absolutely.
Because the media portrays that we are in not equal. And I'm like, you know what? It's because of how we behave.
And it's okay? An old story. You're right. We're telling ourselves that there's, okay, well, women equality, like, you know, pay equality, gender equality, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. And, you know, we're making 77 cents on the dollar. You know, when I do my keynotes and in my book, I talk about how pride cannot feed a baby. The only time I learned how to ask for help was when my son was dying. What does it take to get women to ask for help and ask for what they're worth? I did a keynote in the Midwest a couple weeks ago in Omaha, Nebraska. I ask every audience, I did another one on Friday night. I ask every audience, how many of you have an easy time asking for help? 1 out of 50 or 2 out of 100 typically raise their hand. And we're talking in every part of the United States and beyond. Women don't ask for what they're worth or they continue to tell this story to themselves. If we start asking, if we step up to the plate and we demand it, well, we don't have to demand. If we just ask firmly, we will get it.
And here's the thing. It's not even firmly. I honestly believe this. I had a mind shift. I had such an issue, and I would say it was probably about 4 years ago was the shift. I've never had a problem. I've always out-earned my male counterparts in corporate America, always, hands down. But I'm freaking kick-ass. Like, I'm worth double what they were paying me. At the end of NetCentives, when they had just been bought and they had laid off 450 employees, they brought me in as a contractor making an ungodly hourly rate. I'd come in one day, one 10-hour day a week, and I did everybody else's job. And they managed to do that for 3 months while they were doing the rollover, like everybody else's jobs, because I could do it all. But when it comes to women asking for raises, I find, and I, so I had, 4 years ago, I had this epiphany when I would stand up on the stage, because I'm an international speaker, and I would do platform sales, and I'd have them, they're in the palm of my hand, and right before I'm about to ask them for money, this wave of shame would waft over me. How can charge for something that makes me so happy, that comes so easily, that actually gives me joy to do? How can I charge for that? And it made me feel like a hooker.
Well, because we have
feeling that I got.
Yeah. Well, most women do. We have a fraud. We feel like frauds. We feel like I don't know where that comes from. I mean, the shame I felt when I wasn't getting along with my investors and I wasn't, you know, I tried everything, but the shame I felt and the embarrassment I felt that I couldn't just, you know, make nice and smile and, you know, and I was trying to do it, but I ended up on antidepressants. I ended up gaining 30 pounds. I ended up having migraines every day and having to take anxiety meds. Like, I was trying so much to be that person that they wanted me to be that I was failing to myself. And it was all because I was scared of being a fraud. I was becoming one. And I think women do that. Like you were saying, I wanted to be happy. I this thing that made me so happy, why was I feeling like a hooker for asking for money for it, right?
Right. And that's the other key difference between women and men. So they say that men are invested in more often than women. Men will actually shelve their idea until it's funded, right? And women are more likely to bootstrap it. And I know that feeling because I'm like, you know what? Hell sells. I'm not waiting for you. I'm moving, right? We launched our campaign in January, shot in March, and we're on the air May 9th. That is the fastest path trajectory that anyone has ever seen for a TV show.
Well, which is why
their heads are spinning.
Well, which is why I'm so impressed with the whole thing. Like in the beginning too, I have to be honest, like I didn't even think it was going to happen because
I know you said that. You're like, "Wait, we're really doing this?" It's
well, like, I can't this? Tell you. No, I can't tell you. I've only hosted one other show for TV4 and it was called Inspiration Inc. And you know, we had a film crew of six guys and they were right out of school and we had, you know, one producer who's still, you know, my soul sister, Summers. And you know, it was just so, you know, fun and interesting, but it was so low budget because that was the only way to get it done. And then when this thing came out, it was like, oh yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And then when I got on when I got on set, you know, and I brought Sage with me, my son, he was like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, like this is real. Like these girls pulled this thing off. And I just was then like, this is what's possible. I love that you guys saw what was possible and didn't stop until you got there. And now we're going on air. We're going to be on May 9th at 8 a.m. is our first, this coming Saturday is our first show. If you're listening to this after May 9th, you guys can go on Pop TV, look for your local listings and wakeuptv.com. has a local listings checker as well, but you know,
and a backstage pass,
and a backstage pass.
More. See, we didn't just shoot.
I know. Every room had cameras in it. Every room had a host and cameras. And I didn't even know what was happening in half the rooms. All I know is what was happening in the makeup room. And I will tell you, that is the best room in the house.
Ever.
Yes. To get fake eyelashes put on was like the best. I was like, all right, this just made all this hard work worth it.
It was so much fun. And we had the best crew. I mean, and that's really what it goes down to. And it was the biggest crew I ever had too, just so you know. So I have done award-winning feature films, but the last experience that I had, I produced 35 millimeter feature films, okay, on film. We shot on 4K, which is a whole nother beast.
Yeah.
And it's insanely huge files and really big. So our post, we're all like, you know, so the post time took way longer than we anticipated, right? But it's all our first rodeo on 4K. But it means that the show can go global. So we planned ahead and we future-proofed it because we know we have something special. The conversations that we had, every single person has come, every single person on the crew has come up and been like, oh my God, such and such changed my life. Like one of the conversations hit every single person. There was a conversation for everyone in the entire building. Somebody had a pivotal moment. The tears,
I'm
the
so
hugs.
Glad to hear that. Yeah.
They did. And every time somebody watched the edit, they're like, oh my God. And they got something new and a new layer and a new layer. So we know we have something special with the broadcast, but that's why we created the community, because we want to build it out even bigger than that. We don't think that you should only have this kind of feeling 1 hour a week, because we need to feed people better, nutritious content in the media. They're starving, and they're searching, they're starving, they don't know what they want, and so they're reaching for that Twinkie.
I agree. And, you know, for me too, it's like when I look at content that I love on television, it's The Good Wife, Madam Secretary, and there's not Mad Men gives me a sick feeling in my stomach. I mean, I love the art of it. I think it's so gorgeous, and I'm in love with all of them the way everyone else is, but it just always makes me feel empty and nauseous at the end. And I really do look for content that I can relate to that feels uplifting to me.
And Mad Men made me sick to my stomach. Every single time I watched it, I got through about 6 episodes and I had to stop because I was like, I was angry on my mother's behalf that she had to grow up in that era. And where the hell was my time machine so I could go back and fix that? They don't understand the value of a woman. I can't even tell you. And I'm such a nice, happy, perky person, and it would make me angry. And I don't watch. I turned television off when I got divorced. My former husband watched Fox TV all the time. And I was like, okay, this is what's wrong with the world, right? You only need an hour of news a day. And it should be delivered in a way that is actionable, not fear-mongering. Because when you raise all that fear, you raise the stress, you raise the cortisol, you make people fatter. Making people fatter contributes to a lot of other health issues, which, of course, is the burgeoning pharmaceutical industry.
Okay, so the fact that all these things. Wait. I want to just call you out on that for a second. The fact that you are relating cortisol to weight gain, which is exactly scientifically proven and true, and you're relating it to our media is absolutely brilliant, Adrienne. I just commend you for that. I just want to call you out on that and celebrate you for that for a moment, because cortisol is absolutely, and adrenaline is why we're getting so sick and so fat. And so watching media, I mean, what we take into our mouths and what we take into our eyes and our ears, all of our senses, it's absolutely key that we watch things that are soothing and uplifting and good for us. So it is visual nutrition.
Yeah, that was my last show. It was called The Antidote to TV That Makes You Fat.
The Antidote to TV That Makes You Fat. All right. So if we market Wake Up, is the Saturday mornings that will you know, help you lose weight just because you're happy. I love it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Changemaker with Zena Musica.
For our listeners, I'm interviewing Adrienne Ashley. She's the executive producer on a new show I'm a host on, along with Natalie Ledwell, Cindy Ertman, and Betsy Chassie. And it's on Pop on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pop is a CBS project, a CBS network, I guess. And this
it's
is a
CBS Lionsgate partnership.
Great. And a CBS Lionsgate partnership. This is a CBS radio podcast. And CBS also owns Simon & Schuster, which is where my imprint, Enliven Books, is. And we have amazing books coming out soon. So for more information, Adrienne, where can our listeners find you, and where can they find the show, and how can they participate?
So they can go to wakeuptv.com right away, and they can sign up for what we call a backstage pass. That opens up and unlocks all the other content that's on the website, and it's free. If they feel like giving us their social currency, which is how we actually made this show in the first place, which is clicking with your Facebook, your LinkedIn, and your Twitter to back the show and basically socially endorse us, that is wakeuptv.net.
And it costs nothing.
And it costs nothing.
That's what I love. I mean, if you want uplifting media and you want this beautiful, holistic, you know, model of viewing content that doesn't make you fat, then go to wakeuptv.com and click and give us your social currency. Show the quote-unquote investors, the men of the world, the advertisers, show them that you want something positive and you're demanding it. Because the argument they always give is that we give people what they want. So show them what you want. Show them you want healthy visual content to uplift your life and to not cause more stress and undue strain on the busyness that is, you know, balanced these days. So
I do want to say one more thing about that, though.
Yeah.
We sell them what they want and we give them what they need. This show looks like The View. It looks like The Talk. It looks like a very comfortably familiar mainstream talk show. It's only when you all open your mouths and out comes brilliance, genius, and actionable, like, aha moments where people's jaws drop three or four times during the hour because they're like, I never thought of that. Oh, my God.
That's another thing I love about the show is that, you know, the intros and outros for the guests were scripted because obviously, you know, we needed to tell people where, you know, who the person was. But the actual interviews and the actual juicy conversations, those were 100% unscripted. And, you know, Cindy Ertman is a life coach and amazing executive. Betsy Chassie is the filmmaker who created What the Bleep Do We Know. She directed that and is a documentary filmmaker and single mom. Natalie Ledwell is an Australian who was hugely in debt, she and her husband, and created a multi-million dollar business online, creating moving vision boards. And Natalie's been a guest on the show, and she's a dear, dear friend. And so what I love about the hosts is that we are not made up. We are not TV hosts. We are not professional TV hosts. We are real women making a living out in the real world and supporting other women. And I love that about this show.
Yes. And that was the other important factor. You know, a lot of people were like, why didn't you cast the show with people who are known to TV? You'd have a better chance of selling it. I said, well, first of all, I'm never going to sell it. I want to control it. I need to control not only the topics that were talked about, but the fact that it can't be canceled unless I say so. That's a key piece right there. Did I mention I'm a little bit of a control freak?
I think all of us women are. If we let ourselves be that way, we really, let's just call it the way it is.
I was just going to say, let's just call it how it is, right? It's all good, though. My job is to carry around a basket of fairy dust, sprinkle it liberally, and make creative people's dreams come true. That's where my zone of genius lies. But the other piece of this is we wanted people who not only had a huge influence in the conscious world, but were people that I felt were the people that the mainstream women who maybe still put on makeup when they go to yoga, they know there's more, but they're not really sure what's more. You all ride that bridge really, really well. You're not wearing tinfoil hats and tie-dyes and all that, so you look you look great. You look like a freaking fashion model ready to go down the runway. They look at you and they go,
I can relate.
Yes.
I can
right?
relate.
I can relate to you.
I know. And I think so, I'm the youngest and I'm 40. So I turned 40 this year and I'm a host on a TV show at 40. I want all the listeners to love that too. We're not perfectly trained, perfectly coiffed TV hosts. We're actually women in the real world. We're not so young that we don't have enough scars to actually express the life experience. Because I think one thing in the media that sometimes can be an issue, and we do have women in the media who are older now, but one of the things is that, you know, we in America, we don't have mentors and wise women the way that we used to have. You know, the elders shared wisdom with the younger women. And in the tea world, you know, I'm just 40, so I'm just now qualified to teach tea ceremony. You know, you can't actually teach it until you've gained enough wisdom in life to be able to pass down the wisdom. So I love that we are real women who have actually gained enough life experience to really, really have something to say and not just, you know, have a pretty face and a good script. We're actually talking from our hearts.
Yes, and you're all different. You all have a unique perspective, right? And it's important, right? Because, like, I cast you and I'm like, okay, you're the bohemian. I grew up in Marin County, California, so I could recognize you. That's what I see when I see. Betsy is me, right? I can't be on the show, so Betsy is me. That is the unfiltered, you never know what's coming out of her mouth, and she's not going to, there's no bullshit, and she's not pulling punches. I was like, yes. So, every time she says something that makes people like go, oh God, I can't believe she said that. I'm like, yes, like, that's exactly what I would have said.
She's our, did you see President Obama's anger translator? He gave a speech at the, I laughed so hard. I watched it like three times just to get my endorphins up. It's so hilarious. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So she's our mini me translator.
and then Cindy is our executive. Okay. So our show is on Saturday morning for a reason, because these are not housewives eating bonbons. These are people who actually have a point. They have a job, or they have a career, or they have a business, or they have a something, right? They're doing something during the week, and they're active. And what we're asking them is take 1 hour out of the week and make this be your time to watch the show, right? You take care of everybody else all the time. Now is the time to take care of you. And we say it's like Saturday morning with your best, smartest girlfriends. And then Natalie is from Australia. And how better to give people the idea of the experience that how other people see Americans, which is really crazy, because, you know, we live in this bubble, and I just don't know exactly, you know, what happened, but we do. We live in a bubble, and people don't realize that the rest of the world sees us in a particular way, and maybe the people in France don't like Americans because we're gauche and we're rude and we're loud, and maybe sometimes we are, and having that, like, that extra perspective to reflect back on our experience is really, I think, important. So the four of you together just make up this genius of perspective that I think is really wonderful. And then you combine that with our guests, who are like the top people. And do you know they're lining up now?
Huh.
We have a list of like 200 people who, my jaw dropped when I was looking at this list, because I recognize at least half of them as huge people who want to be on the show.
Yeah, but Jack Canfield, you know, him coming forth and being on the show, which Cindy is dear, dear friends with him and trains under him. And then yes. Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote the Four Agreements. And, you know, Jack Canfield did Chicken Soup for the Soul. And we're publishing his next book called The 30-Day Sobriety Solution in August at Atria, Simon & Schuster. I have to say, these guys are the real deal. I have met so many people in the transformation and consciousness world that are one person in public, one person in public, and a completely different person in private. I mean, I know guys who have like affairs on their wives, but then claim to live the authentic life. Like I love that we are really vetting our guests and not, you know, pretending this holier than thou, like, you know, oh, well, I meditate and therefore, you know, but in private, I'm this different human that treats my kids like crap. You know, it's like, we're not doing that. I love that we have like the authenticity factor, which is another reason why I love our show. It's like, it's real. And these people are not faking it. And you guys can learn from it. It's so exciting.
Yes. And that is exactly it. Because I speak with a lot of these people all over the world, and I watch them be on stage, and I'm riveted, and they're amazing on stage, and then they go backstage, and they scream at their staff.
I've had that experience.
Like, you got to sell. If we don't hit $480,000, you're fired.
Yes,
like,
I have had that experience.
Like, oh,
my God.
And so I know these people personally, and so they're on the blacklist. It's like, no. If we, like I said, that holistic thing, we decide who's on the show.
Well, and authenticity is such,
endorse.
Authenticity is such a value in the media world, because off camera, on camera, you know, it's like there's a split, like it's like a schizophrenic split in our nation. It's like, that's why I think even, you know, I don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians or whatever, but like, Kim Kardashian, like she's very transparent. So you know what you're getting. Like she loves her body. She loves her face. You're going to get that through and through. I think that's why she's a superstar. What happens is I think that authenticity, whatever it is, comes across. And I think that's what we get to offer our viewers on Wake Up, is that we're going to actually get to have real conversations with people who come across as real because they really are. And then they go off into their lives and they're the same person. I love it. But we've got to close up here and get this. It's Sunday morning. I'm in my pajamas still. I'm sure you are. My kids are embargoed in their rooms right now, and I need to get them breakfast.
Mine are outside.
So I love you, Adrienne, Ashley, and I'm really grateful to be a host on Wake Up TV as well as on Changemaker. For those of you listening, just know that good media is on the way. And, you know, there are a lot of people out in the world wanting to bring you great things. So go out and vote with your views and vote with your dollars and look up really high quality things. You know, Pete Farrelly and I of the Farrelly Brothers talked a lot about online negativity and bullying and being mean, you know, and to not click on the negative online. This is another call to action. Click on something positive. Go to wakeuptv.com. Give us your social currency. Tell the powers that be that you want something better and you want something more positive in the world, and we'll love you for it. For those of you who want to know more information, you can follow me at Twitter at Mistress of Tea. I will be posting a ton of stuff from Wake Up TV. And, you know, my mission in the world is to serve you and your soul and your best good and inspire you and uplift you. So please help me in fulfilling that mission, and Adrian also with wakeuptv.com. And we are airing on Saturday mornings on Pop, which is a new project network by CBS, which is our amazing radio host here too. All right, all my love, changemakers. See you soon.